Tanzania and Zambia and Mozambique. For initial diplomatic protocol meetings and to identify possible projects. That delegation included a machinist that represented skilled trades, a person in information systems and computers, and myself with a background in agriculture and economics. And we looked at projects in those areas. And we've had a couple of write-ups and some reports on that particular trip. The June-July trip, we visited those countries plus Zimbabwe. And it was the purpose of that June-July trip was to do a more thorough assessment of the needs on actual projects that had been identified on the December trip. And that included, involved, talking with various ministries and agencies, project level people, to get the necessary information about what were the goals of the project.
And I'm calling from Mandisa,
trying to find out what the objectives were of a project, what equipment they had in place, what personnel they had, what problems they might have on the project, specifically what would a volunteer do working on that project. To do that, a delegation fell into place finally by the time the trip took place, consisting of a physician, a psychiatrist physician, an educator, a computer person, and again myself with a background in agriculture and economics. And that group, together and individually, we visited approximately 50 different project sites. 50 different project sites. And I think the general conclusion that we came away with was that there would be a great deal of similarity with the work that we've been doing in Nicaragua, with some differences that I'll come back to later, but that we would be doing much the same kind of infrastructure support work in the areas of engineering, informatics, which is computers, databases, and so on, and in agriculture. But we would be adding in Southern Africa the areas of teaching and healthcare, primarily because of the use of the English language would allow that to take place on a much larger scale than in Nicaragua. In the area of microcomputers, installation, setup, training, and so on, with the usual database, spreadsheet, telecommunications, desktop publishing. We'll be doing those kinds of projects in Zimbabwe, Mozambique, and Zambia. We have water projects that involve hydrologists and well drilling in Mozambique and in Zimbabwe. We have teachers in Zimbabwe and Zambia, math, science, ESL teachers, and vocational teachers, and we have doctors to teach specialties as well as practice general medicine in all four countries. Now, to come back more specifically and look at it country by country, let me first take Zimbabwe. But I got to put something over this machine because it's rattling me, going off and on all the time. Is there a blanket or something? We could cover it up. Let's just put it down behind. Maybe that's good. All right. It's all right.
It's the time of day.
Didn't realize how many telephone calls we get. Many of you probably heard, how many were here when Ken and Kitty Epstein gave their report on Zimbabwe? How many were here? About half. I'm just going to give a quick review of that to put it in the context, and then for those who weren't here. They visited a teacher training school that could use teacher trainers, that is, people to train teachers, both by giving seminars at the college as well as working side by side with teachers in the field, whether it be in regional towns and cities or in the countryside. At the Ministry of Education, they found specific needs for teachers working alongside of teachers in the classroom, upgrading their skills. For example, a physics teacher or a math teacher or an ESL teacher, working with those kinds of teachers who are already certified but simply haven't had enough exposure to higher level training to upgrade those existing teachers. There was an organization that originally began building schools to serve the needs of the Mozambican refugees. They're called the ZIMFAB Production Schools. ZIMFAB is letters for the Zimbabwean whatever. And they now have 8 schools around the country and are about 50% Mozambican refugee and about 50% Zimbabwean students. And they have, it's mainly at the level of post-secondary, that is like our junior colleges, a higher level of education. And they are doing some very innovative work in terms of integrating work and production with academics, so that it's not all one or the other. And so these schools teach both academics, math and science and so on, as well as vocational skills. And there they can use both teachers, if they're longer term, as well as shorter term people to train their teachers in carpentry, electricians, plumbing, masonry, math, English, and science. So a combination of both vocational skills as well as academic. There is an independent school out on the eastern side of Zimbabwe, fairly near the Mozambican border, in a heavily populated agricultural valley that's secondary, that also combines vocation and academics. They have a new buildings and equipment that was installed by the Swedes several years ago. The Swedish government built a building and put equipment in place, but they don't know how to use it. They don't know how to use that equipment. And I'm going to be pointing out several examples of just that happening, where either governments or large NGOs, non-governmental organizations, bring in equipment, but they leave without really teaching the people well enough how to use it. So the equipment is there in many places, in many cases, but not the skills to use it, which, going back to the early days of Technica in Nicaragua, was one of the prime motivators behind establishing this program in Nicaragua, when we saw that the equipment was there, but the ability to use it was very weak. So at this vocational school in the Hyundai Valley, they can use carpenters, welders, building construction people, as well as people to teach design, teach math, and teach management, management skills. Another interesting project that Ken and Kitty reported on were several projects with the Agricultural Workers Union in Zimbabwe. When you hear a description of that union, their resources, their level of organization, or having organized the farm workers population, it reminds me much of the farm workers here in California back in the mid-1960s. Very little resources, very not well known, not much support from anywhere. They've got a big job ahead of them, and they're working with few resources, and they're one of the organizations that don't get any support from big other outside governments or NGOs. And because of its direct impact on the agricultural population, We felt it would be a very positive place to work. And one of the first projects that we've identified with them would be to have volunteer go for approximately 3 months, and during that 3 month period, teach a series of seminars at major towns around Zimbabwe to the representatives from the locals in that area. A local is a large farm. So out near Bulawayo, on the for example, on the western side of Zimbabwe, there are, you know, many, many farms. One representative would come from each farm, stay for 3 days, say in Bulawayo, and our volunteer would be teaching those organizers seminars in first aid, just basic, you know, broken bones and cuts and bruises and, you know, basic kind of first aid, because medical care is not very available in the countryside. Another seminar in pesticides. Again, when they were describing the very awful use of pesticides, it sounded just like in this country. I mean, the airplanes fly over and spray the fields, and the workers are working in the fields. Or they have tanks on their backs that they're spraying with, and the liquid's leaking out over their bodies, and they really don't know what the chemicals are. Or there are open containers of the chemicals around the buildings, and there's kids playing there in these open containers. And so some seminars, again, regionally centered, that would provide basic information on the pesticides, why and how they're dangerous to the human body, basic first aid to deal with toxic poisoning, and then, of course, preventive care. Another possible series of seminars with this Agriculture Workers Union on nutrition, basic health nutrition, which in turn the organizers would then be able to teach to the farm workers on the farm. So as you can see, a pattern here of short, medium, long-term volunteers teaching the trainers, who in turn then train, go on training after our volunteers leave. Another project with the same union is training the union organizers who go around to help analyze the farm's profitability. Many of these farms are still owned by white, by large, they're large farms still owned by white farmers. That's the policy in Zimbabwe, was to allow anybody to stay and continue the operation of their farm as long as it was productive, and in many cases, they continue to be owned by white farmers, and so you still have, you know, a good deal of conflict and tension between the farm workers and the owners, although as the African population points out, finally we make the rules. We now govern. And that was the bottom line to them that made the difference between now and before independence. But volunteers who would teach these organizers basic essentials of accounting and economics and financial reporting. They're handicapped right now when they negotiate with the farm owners because they can't read financial statements. They don't even know if a company is making a profit or not. It's very easy for an owner to make a case that we can't give a wage because we're losing money, and they have no way to assess the accuracy of that. And they thought that would be a very, very valuable skill for them to learn. There's other ones also with that union, but those were two I bring to your attention. In the area